Shape of Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Scenario, Winter's Bite by Jim Phillips. That happens.
We're not ready.
Okay. It's a metaphor for life.
How modern are we?
Yeah.
So, I'm glad you asked. Let us begin. How modern are we? It is December 2015.
Oh, last year.
Yes. The five of you, one of you who is very quiet and gets into moods occasionally, doesn't like to talk, are all students at Miskatonic University in beautiful Arkham, Massachusetts. None of you particularly know each other. At this level in your schooling, you know, you really don't have the time or inclination to do a whole lot of socialization out of your immediate kind of educational area. Some of you probably have seen one another in passing, most likely Corey and Anselmi, however you pronounce that.
Don't ask me how you pronounce it.
Possibly at some point Francisca and Mohandas have, you know, come across each other. But by and large, you know, the five of you are certainly not, you know, fast friends. And you certainly, you know, don't know each other. At most, you know, you would kind of recognize, oh, I passed that person in the hallway at one point. It is the end of term at Miskatonic, and winter's break, and the winter break is fast coming upon you. In fact, it is the last week of term, and winter break starting on Friday. When each of you individually receives a phone call from the dean of your school. And he tells you that a certain doctor, Dr. Christopher Alviles, I gotta come up with better names, man. Christopher Alviles.
First letters, Dr. A.
Yes, exactly. Is working a project in the mountains of West Virginia. And he has called back to the school and said that he has come upon something remarkable and has asked for a specific cadre of students to come assist him with his research and his excavation. He has not asked for anyone by name. He has asked for people by specialty. Right? So he said, you know, I need the best geologist we have. And so the dean said, you know, looked at the roles and said, oh, Francisca is the best geologist we have. We're going to call her. Now, all of you, none of you know Dr. Aviles, however we're pronouncing that. In person, it is possible and even likely that Corey may have attended a lecture that he gave at some point. But all of you know Dr. Aviles by reputation. And he is one of these fellows who has been at the university forever. He is incredibly well respected in his field. And he is one of these researchers, you know, who is at a level that if your name appears on a paper or a publication alongside his, your career is made, regardless of the field and specialty. And, you know, so
we know which specialty that is.
He is an archaeologist.
Or just that he's the Archaeology, okay.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Right. I've definitely seen his webinars.
So the dean informs you, you know, so the dean calls you up, says, you know, I'm sorry to take away from your holiday break, but this is an opportunity that you will not want to miss. Dr. Avila has said that it shouldn't, you know, he doesn't expect the dig to go on for more than a month. You should have no problem fitting it in. It means you're giving up your winter holiday, but, you know, all of you kind of immediately recognize this is, you know, this is the chance. This is going to make your career if you are able to go do this. So, of course, you all say yes.
Yeah, don't be sorry, Dean. Thank you for the opportunity.
It'd be a short game if we all said no.
I like the fact we're not given the choice.
Yeah. Jim knows how to handle this crew.
Yep. the school is arranging for a van for the five of you to take. And it is being loaded and kitted out with all sorts of research equipment that, you know, for the various fields that may be relevant. I mean, you know, everything from, you know, picks and shovels and trowels and brushes, you know, to, you know, a small ground penetrating radar system, a metal detector, things of this nature. So you have all sorts of equipment with you. You're given a map, you know, as to how to get down there. And the map indicates that it is near the city of Cheatbridge, West Virginia.
Well, how about that?
Cheatbridge. It is a short ways east of Cheatbridge, West Virginia.
Well, I am getting excited. That is Tutelo territory. I'm doing my research on that.
Oh, you know the Tutelos?
Yes. Yes.
How exciting.
Doing my research on their the migration of their people. I've done a bunch of excavations.
Now, I see I have it as a skill on my character sheet, but the question is, did you send me blurb, Jim?
I thought I did.
Let me double check and move just down. Yeah, there we go. Focus is in studying the... Is it Tupelo or Tutelo?
Tutelo.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a T in the middle.
Sure. Tutelo culture and the changes in the culture pre and post contact. Well,
I didn't know you were studying that, Anselm.
Are you male or female?
Female.
Oh, well, then.
It's kind of a rude question to ask someone.
Let's
isn't it obvious?
Jim, I didn't get much of a blurb, by the way.
That's true. You don't have much of one.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything that, you know, anything... I did not write up, you know, long character bios for any of the pre-gens. So anything else, just, you know, look at the skills, whatever you want to make up, just feel free to riff on it however you want to.
Yep.
So the five of you are introduced to each other, and, you know, this conversation will be on Friday evening as the van is being prepared. The expectation is that you guys will roll out early Saturday morning, and it should take you a solid day of driving to be down there in the evening. Dr. Aviles has said that he has secured rooms for you at a local bed and breakfast, and he has given you directions to the little village that he wants you to meet at, where his dig site is nearby. There is a gas station and diner just on the edge of town that he will meet you at. So he's kind of, you know, given directions to how to get there. or meet him at the diner Saturday evening.
Oh, okay.
How long is the drive?
About 10 to 11 hours.
Right.
Okay. And it's just us driving ourselves, right? We're splitting the driving.
Yeah.
Heading down.
Yep.
Unless some person wants to do the whole thing, yeah.
Yep.
I have base drive.
Same here, so I'll do a little bit of drop.
Same. I think everyone's going
to... I apparently used to drive for UPS or something.
Looking at my skills, I think I came from a farm. Things like mechanical repairs, operate heavy machinery, natural world. So I think I'm from a farm.
Okay. Yeah. A name like Mohandas von Kahn, you could be from just about anywhere.
That is true.
Sort of the Muslim Dutch.
In divine Netherlands.
So, Friday evening, you guys are welcome to chat amongst yourselves, introduce yourselves. Why don't we go around just to make sure that the listeners at home know what the heck's going on. Why don't you all introduce yourselves? That way... everyone will be caught up.
Should we go in order of the notes?
In order of the notes, make it easy.
Francisca Park is a rotund geology student. She is 23 and brunette. I'm expecting her to be full. But I guess we'll find out. And, all right. Yeah, no,
We've got Corey Piatek. She's a graduate student of archaeology. She is a blonde 23-year-old. scrappy looking. And, yeah, really, really gung-ho about archaeology and the physical aspect of it, and definitely the Tutelo people.
Important question, what's her app?
40.
Oh, well, maybe I remember with a chance.
just so everyone is aware, our very... Cecil Severins, who is being very quiet at the moment, apparently perhaps not feeling quite well, but still going along on the journey, is what is Cecil? Oh, yeah, a postgraduate student in literature and folklore, and I do not recall how old Cecil is. He is, let me look, 27.
Hope he's not contagious. Old guy. Okay. Hope that part's not contagious.
I'm Mohandas von Kahn. I'm a 21-year-old undergraduate of astronomy and mathematics, doing a double degree.
An undergrad? Oh my goodness.
Yes, I'm an undergrad.
Well.
How cute.
Senior.
I am Anselm Ackerson. I assume I am a postgraduate student in anthropology, and at 26, I'm probably one of the older ones as well. I assume, looking at my stats, I probably either have some kind of coughing disorder, or maybe I have asthma, or doesn't look the healthiest person you've ever seen.
Ah, yes. Anselm is a bit sickly, isn't he?
Yes, an 11-hour car journey may just kill me, so be a short session scenario for me.
We'll push you off. Over a bit somewhere.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, Friday evening comes to a close. Early Saturday morning dawns. You all meet at the wherever on the campus that the van has been prepared for you.
Francisca shows up with her backpack and a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
My hand is also turns up with a backpack and some Jolt.
Jolt? Do they still make that? Serious question. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. That stuff was awesome.
I know.
I remember that back in high school. I didn't think that was a thing anymore.
Oh, whatever. Monster or whatever.
Oh, I never drink. Whatever now.
Corey will definitely be there early with her thermos of coffee and big backpack, you know, the backpacking kind where it's got the steel frame. Way bigger than of a backpack than you would need going to stay in a hotel.
I think Anselm will probably have coffee as well and be steadily working his way through a pack of cigarettes.
Nice. That'll be great in the drive down. University van, no smoking.
Oh, also quick addition. I'll have brought a box of donuts.
You know, I was going to stop for donuts, but I'm glad you brought some. That's great. Because I was thinking, well, maybe I'll stop for some in Connecticut or something. But, I mean, some more. That was really nice of you to bring donuts, though.
Yeah. Well, we're a team now. Should be fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great.
So, I can understand out. The anthropology, archaeology, geology, mathematics, literature?
I don't know.
Well, folklore, maybe.
Astronomy? Maybe there was something to do with stars. Stars.
Not going to say anything for yourself, Cecil? Fine. Be like that.
Not very friendly. He's
very, very sleepy-eyed, and kind of sits down on his bag and then passes out.
Avoids eye contact.
Well, the undergrad, he's 21. I mean, what do you expect? He probably went out drinking last night.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking. Hungover.
He might show up with a Sharpie mustache by the time we get to.
I mean, the strongest thing we brought was coffee and Mountain Dew. We didn't bring enough Red Bull, I guess.
Right.
Makes perfect sense. So you guys roll out. As you are driving, and I presume you're gonna periodically switch off so everyone can share the driving a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a particular order or pattern?
I'll drive first.
As I roll on the random encounter table, I just need to know.
I'll drive second.
Exactly.
I'll drive first.
I'll drive second.
I'll drive fourth.
Excellent. Cecil can't drive. He's too hungover.
Too young.
21. Oh, maybe. Yeah. That's funny.
Mohandas, can I have you make a hard no roll, please?
Oh, okay. I rolled a 67, so not hard, no.
Okay, fair enough. So the drive goes on. It is December, but it's the day starts out kind of crisp and clear and cold. As the day wears on, and as you get up, as you get down kind of south of D.C. and through Virginia and are approaching West Virginia, clouds start to move in, starts to darken, and in fact, it starts to snow. And I believe that Anselm was going to be the last driver. Can I have... Let's do this. Everyone except Anselm, make a con roll, please.
Cool, that's just as well.
Zero.
Hard success.
I got an extreme success. Zero.
I got 47, which is a regular success.
Okay. So everyone, including Anselm, can make a spot hidden roll.
Success.
Yep.
No, success.
Hard success.
Fail.
Okay. After you enter West Virginia, so you're kind of closing in on the directions that Dr. Alviles gave you, you see a road sign. A rather large road sign in white with bright red letters on it and a red border that as soon as he sees it, Mohandas especially says, "Oh, I completely forgot that was here." And the sign says, "Entering National Radio Quiet Zone."
Of course.
Of course.
And there's various text about not being about, no use of cell phones and CB radios and all sorts of other stuff is prohibited.
I assume the signal actually goes dead anyway, so it'll be somewhat useless.
Yes, very soon afterwards, those of you who are rebellious and left your cell phones on would see that, yes, the signal goes dead.
I would have turned mine off straight away as soon as I saw it.
So does that mean in some impossible way that there's no radio reception like AM/FM radio, or?
That's because of the big radio telescopes and things, isn't it? They remote interference.
Yep.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about receivers, so like the car radio. I mean, there's somehow it's
shielded. Yeah, but there wouldn't be any radio transmitters in the area, so once you got sufficiently far in, there would be no signal to receive.
I mean, you can pick up radio from 1,000 miles away sometimes. That's just, okay, but in general, there'll be no. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and as you kind of enter this area, it is very rugged and very hilly. So you can turn the radio on, but very quickly, the FM bands are just getting static, and there's just kind of a few pops where, as you kind of crest a hill or something, where you can get bad reception of some random AM station out of Baltimore or something like this, Richmond or maybe Harrisburg. Yeah, but there's not much.
Cool.
As you continue to drive along, the snow starts becoming rather heavy.
Are you slow down there a little bit?
It'd be fine.
Yeah, don't take the roads too fast.
Did we bring a chance?
This is a van. You gotta be careful in a van.
I'll look around in the back of the van. Are there any chains?
Yes, there are tire chains.
Yep, there's chains here.
Phew.
Well, if it gets much worse, maybe we should put them on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no sense going off the road and then putting them on.
Just for excitement, let's have Anselm make a drive roll.
This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Really crashing die horribly.
That is a fail.
It's starting to get the snow is starting to get deep and it's starting to get slick. You're also having some visibility problems as the snow flurries are obscuring the road in front of you, and you're kind of sliding around a little bit.
I think we should put on the chains. I mean, I know we're almost there, but these vans aren't very good in the snow.
I will have slowed down because it's somewhat tricky.
Of course.
Yeah, we'll put on the chains, I think.
Okay. You guys can pull off the road. Let's have some mechanical repair just to see how well the chains go.
Okay, I'll do this. A 39 success.
Yep, no problem. Awesome. Modern tire chains are easy to put on, so.
They are.
No worries. Tire chains go on, you set off again. Tires crunching through the snow. Gray flakes falling in front of you and behind you and are all around you. Following the map, you realize, you know, as you're kind of progressively, you came off the freeway onto a, you know, local two-lane highway, and eventually the map takes you off that highway and you turn onto a dirt road. And the dirt road, there's a sign that you don't quite catch, something about a historical site. The sign is kind of battered and obscured and scratched, and you know, it doesn't look like much. It's kind of hard to read. Something about a historical site ahead. And the dirt road kind of leads you along the edge of a ravine and kind of up the mountain.
Whee!
Until it finally opens out a little bit, and you come into a small village that looks like this. Wink.
Look at that.
Unfortunately, my scan of the map was cut off a little bit, but you come in down at the kind of towards the center, right at the bottom edge where it's labeled number 19. It actually says two highways. Yep. So that's where you come in. As you roll into the village, very quickly on your right there, building number 22, you can see is a diner and gas station, exactly as was described to you. No, those are gas pumps.
I think we're here.
Oh, nice. I need to get out and stretch my legs.
See if Dr. Avila is, and get some food.
Yeah.
Sounds like I might as well get some lunch.
Yeah.
Dinner.
Yeah, it's about about 6 p.m. by the time you guys roll in.
Oh, then dinner.
And hopefully Dr. Avila is here. He's supposed to meet us, I think.
Oh, cheer up, Cecil. Stop looking so glum.
Yes, really, you should be more excited. This is an adventure.
With the heat on.
An opportunity of a lifetime.
Well, fine. Be sullen, then.
I didn't bring any snow boots. I wasn't really expecting this in down here, but so hop out. That we go too soon. Oh, let's go find the professor. So I'll hop out and go into the diner.
Yep.
Oh, we'll head into the diner as well.
Okay. As you head into the diner, it is kind of your very typical, stereotypical backroads diner. It feels a little greasy as soon as you walk in. There's a counter with a couple stools, some booths of vinyl with vinyl seats. It all looks very worn. It's clearly been here for many years. There are about three or four other patrons, a couple sitting at the bar, a couple of people sitting at the bar, and a elderly couple sitting in one of the booths. And as you walk in, the middle-aged lady, kind of gray hair, pulled back in a ponytail, blouse and little name tag, looks up and says, welcome, kids. Have a seat anywhere. I'll be over in a minute.
Thanks.
Do we see the professor?
You do not. And true to her word, a few moments later, she wanders over with five menus and slaps them down on the table. She's got a pot of coffee in her hands. Any of y'all want coffee?
Yes, please.
Yes, thank you.
Can I get one of those cinnamon rolls to start with? They look delicious.
What kind of pie do you have?
Rhubarb.
Oh, sounds
fresh,
delicious.
Fresh rhubarb pie, just made this morning.
Oh, delicious. I'll have a slice, please.
She flips over the coffee cups that are already on the table and pours out coffee for those of you who ordered. I'll be right back with your cinnamon roll and your pie and take your order.
Great. I love these places. You can always get so much food for cheap.
Yeah, and they usually have
great
pie.
Should we get any kind of per diem?
Yes. Yes, you were given a stipend to cover, food and sundries. You were told that Dr. Aviles had secured rooms for you at the B&B, so that was taken care of for you, and you have the car. So, yeah, you were just given a couple $100 each for food and sundries for a couple weeks.
So was the professor due to meet us at any particular time, or did he know when?
Probably said he'd be here in the evening, but maybe he's just a little late. Maybe he got excited about work or the snow, or who knows?
Hopefully
by the time we're done with dinner, he'll be here.
The information that you were given made it sound like you would have expected to see him here already when you got here. That he would be here waiting for you.
When the waitress comes back over, I will ask if she has seen Dr. Aviles.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen him today. I haven't seen him since... I think the last time he was in was yesterday.
Oh, we're due to meet him. Was supposed to meet us here.
Oh, I see, yeah. No, I ain't seen him since yesterday.
Do we know where his dig is?
No, you don't.
Maybe he got caught up in something today.
I mean, we can always just go to the B&B after dinner, and I'm sure he'll be there.
Yeah. We can leave a note here, I suppose. Well, we should eat and wait. He might turn up. What's the time now? We said just past six?
Yep.
Well, we should have dinner. Yeah.
Spot hidden rolls.
exactly on the dot. 25 out of 25.
95. I spot my chicken fried steak and I keep my eyes glued to it.
Sorry, who passed?
It was Anselm.
Okay. Anselm, you notice one of the gentlemen sitting at the counter is a younger gentleman, probably in his 20s. Very kind of a stocky, muscular fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you know, workout muscular, but like, you know, laborer muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Long, straight, dark hair. And he appears to be agitated about something. And the Alice, the waitress, he is talking with Alice, the waitress, in very hushed tones. She appears to be trying to calm him down or settle him a little bit, but he seems to be agitated.
Not agitated at our presence, rather just agitated.
You can make a psychology roll if you want.
I possibly can as well. No.
Who knows?
Okay. Maybe I will go up with the intention of getting some more coffee to see if I can overhear a bit.
Okay. You go up to the counter and Alice, you know, sees you and kind of stands up quick. What can I get you?
Oh, like some more coffee, please.
You know, she kind of looks a little bit nervous as her eyes dart back and forth between the gentleman and you, and she, you know, turns around and reaches for the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman in question stands up.
Mm-hmm.
Anselm, what is your size?
65.
65. He is about as tall as you are.
Okay.
You know, he kind of looks at you. His eyes kind of squint closed. You could say he's glaring at you almost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you here to help that doctor person?
Oh, yes. Do you know where he is?
His mouth kind of twists in an unpleasant-looking way. He shoves you.
Oh, how rude.
Yeah, gives you a shove.
Ooh.
Your friend is desecrating my ancestors' graves. Stay away! And then he stalks out of the diner.
I assume that was loud enough for the others to see.
Oh, yes.
Does he look like he's of Tutelo ancestry?
Make a anthropology roll.
Anthropology, huh?
I get nope. A hard success.
Anselm would believe so, yes.
Oh. Well, that is... It's rather sad, he thinks that. Has he stormed out?
Yes.
Okay. I will head back to the others, and it seems our good doctor is not the most popular man in town.
Sounds like it.
No, no, that's not good.
So I assume I would know what his sort of reputation is as an archaeologist and anthropologist. I assume he doesn't have a reputation for sort of desecrating ancestral, or does he? Maybe he does, maybe.
He does not. He is very well respected by all the native communities in which he has worked, as you know, and actually has the opposite reputation.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out of the way to make sure that, you know, local tribal councils are contacted and are on board, and that any remains are repatriated, and there's certain standards for such things, right? And he's known for always going above and beyond.
Well, that is worrying. I will go over to, or maybe if the waitress comes over again, I will ask what did that man mean that Dr. Aviles is desecrating sites? This seems so strange. He is very highly respected.
Oh, don't pay him no mind. Your doctor's just been up there digging at the mound, and he's got it in his bonnet that the doctor shouldn't be digging in there, that's all.
Do you know where the dig site is?
Yeah, he's digging at the old Indian mound, just up the road. And she kind of waves off in the direction of number 7.
Which okay.
Is kind of towards the top left corner of the map, there's kind of an arrow and a road leading north.
Historical site.
Yep.
That's good. We'll just follow. When we find that engraved on the ground, we'll know we're going in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay, so we reckon we could easily make our way over there if we wanted to.
Well, I don't know that you would want to do that in this snow. It's a good... It's a good couple miles out of town yet, and it's not the best road to get up there.
Yeah, I think we wouldn't want to go until the morning. I mean,
yeah, you want to wait till day. You want to wait till daybreak, and you want to wait till the snow breaks to try to get up there. Even if you do got chains on your truck out there.
Is there a sort of campsite out there, or does he return to town each night?
Oh, and as far as I know, he's staying over at old Betty's place. She runs a little B&B for the very few tourists we get coming through.
Okay. Maybe he's stuck out there. The weather. Well, maybe we should check into the B&B, and if he's not there, make plans to head out first thing tomorrow.
Sounds like a good plan.
Sounds good. So you'll tell him we're at the B&B if he shows up, right?
Oh, of course. Please? Of course. I will certainly do that.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to working with him.
Thank you. Spot hit and roll.
Hard success.
Failed.
Success.
So, looking out, as you're kind of having this conversation and looking out the window, a car has pulled up, kind of an old beat-up pickup truck, probably at least 20, 30 years old, beat to hell. An elderly gentleman in overalls, gets out and goes up to the gas pump and starts pumping gas into his car, or into his truck. And as he does so, he's sitting there, he's just kind of standing there filling the truck up. But then something makes you look up and take another look. And would you all make sand rolls?
Even though he's fat.
Unless you failed your spot hidden.
Yeah.
Success.
08.
And even if you did fail, I'm sure the others are about to point this out to you, so you can go ahead and make your sand roll anyway.
We like to share.
Yep.
I failed my sand roll.
Success can be a D2, failure can be a D4.
One.
D4. Okay, that's two.
As you see the gentleman, he's standing there by the side of his pickup truck, holding the gas nozzle, pumping gas into the truck. He takes the nozzle out of the truck And apparently is still holding the lever down because gas is now spewing out of the hose all over the place.
Okay.
And you can see him look down at it for a moment. And then he sticks the nozzle right in his face and starts sucking from it. Just like you would
drink
out of a water hose.
Oh, what is he doing? Anselm, stop him!
I'll quickly rush over and grab it from him.
And it only takes a few moments, but he very quickly starts kind of choking and his body jerking and you're able to, he starts to fall over even before you get there. And you can see there's, chemical burn all around his mouth, and he's gasping and choking and falls to the snow.
Alice, call the police. There's that man out there. Oh my God.
She screams and runs to the telephone.
Why did he do that?
So do the other folks in the cafe sort of stand up and say, "Oh my God, that's old Bob Jones," or?
Yes. Yep.
I'm muted. That's why no one heard me. I take it everyone else is shocked.
Yes. Oh yes.
Yeah. The couple in the booth are like, "Oh my God, Billy, what's going?" And Alice rushes for the phone and.
John,
you hear her on the phone. John, you need to get over here right away. Billy's done something.
Is he still alive? Can I go and check?
He is still alive, but he is in a bad way.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what to do with this situation.
I'll try some first aid. See if that helps.
I don't think they teach you how to help someone who's drunk a gallon of gasoline.
It's better than trying to do than not doing anything. Yep.
Go right ahead.
47 failed.
Yeah. Yeah. You. All of you are just kind of standing around and have no clue what to do.
Get him some water.
He just continues to gasp and choke, and it takes only about a minute or two, but a battered old police car, kind of the old 70s police car, the big sedan with the light bar, bolted separately on top, pulls up, and a middle-aged kind of paunchy fellow steps out of the car and says, "What's... Billy, oh my God, what's happened here?" And he rushes over. What's happened to him?
He stuck the nozzle in his mouth. He just went crazy.
Why would anyone do such a thing? Oh my God, I'm going to get this boy to the hospital. I'm going to get this boy to the docks. Come on, help me get him into the car.
I will, yeah.
And says, "Okay, thanks for your help. I'm going to get him to the dock." And he jumps back in the car and kind of peels out back the way you guys came.
I feel I need a drink after that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Is there a bar around here?
Yeah. If you're asking Alice or someone, or are you just looking around?
Well, yeah, I'll ask if it's not immediately apparent.
No, actually, it is immediately apparent. The building right behind the diner there, number 21.
Okay.
Is a small local bar.
Well, I will certainly suggest that to the others.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys wander next door to the bar?
Should we go and check into the B&B first?
Drop our stuff.
B&B is... Sure.
Yeah, let's check in.
Go see if Aviles is around. Okay.
So are you gonna?
That was kind of.
Are you gonna
crazy.
Ask someone where it is, or what's the?
Yeah, I thought we had directions to it, but yeah, we'll ask Alice where the where old Betty's is.
Okay. She gives you directions just around the corner, big house on the second block, which, you know, on the map would be number 32.
Okay. This little carriage house. That's good. Then we can park. Walk back a few blocks to the bar. Leave the van and all the stuff here.
Yeah.
Okay. You make your way over there. Go up, knock at the door. An older lady, you know, kind of stout, short. Yes, may I help you? You're Dr. Avila's guests, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Come in, come in. I've got rooms all made up for you. Where is Dr.
the doctor here?
I was expecting him to be with you.
So were we.
Yeah, we thought he'd meet us at the diner, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, he's probably just working late. He does that. He does that often.
Oh, does he stay up there sometimes, or does he always come back here?
Let me think. No, I think pretty much he's always made it back here for supper, which is in about 15 minutes if you're interested.
Cool.
Supper sounds good.
Well, we ate at the diner, didn't we?
We just ate at the diner. I didn't have dinner, too. That's great.
Oh, well, yeah. Alice's. You might find the food is a touch better here for the rest of your stay, but a little variety.
Great,
never hurt anyone, I suppose. so if you don't mind, since you all be, you know, working and doing whatever you got going on, I made y'all up rooms in the guest house out there, not in the main house, just so that you can come and go without disturbing the family. And she indicates the that little number 33 that's kind of tucked in the corner there. And she leads you over there. And it is, you know, it is a little kind of guest house. There's one, you know, bathroom, shower, toilet, sink, that sort of thing. A little common area. And then, you know, five... very small little rooms that are, you know, barely more than a bedroom, or barely more than a small twin bed, and a little nightstand, and that's about it. It's cozy, you know, it's basic, but it has a certain quaint, cozy charm about it.
Well, we'll see you for breakfast.
Oh, certainly, if you'd like. Breakfast is, I serve breakfast at 7 a.m. Right here in the main house, right here in the dining room. Just mosey on over.
Great. It's going to seem kind of early after a long day today, but...
Well, so we need that drink.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'll head over with you. Just across the street, I guess.
Oh, fine, Cecil. You stay here. I don't want to spend any time with you anyway.
I'll come to the bar as well.
Cecil can watch all of here. I'm sure it's...
I was going to say, Cecil can town. Stay with the trunk and watch over the simulacrum, but...
exactly. make sure our ground penetrating radar doesn't walk off.
Okay, so is that everyone? Except Cecil?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you make your way over to the bar and you walk in, and it's a kind of dark, run-down sort of place. There's a kind of tall, lanky, older fellow behind the bar. There's a few patrons scattered about. The jukebox is blaring very loud country music. There's a few, kind of bright neon signs on the walls. Otherwise, it's kind of dark, a little bit dingy. About half of everyone in the bar looks up when you walk in and kind of just stares at you.
Nod and head to the bar. Order some drinks. Yeah. Do I see the guy who shoved me earlier?
You do, actually. And as you walk in, you actually see him. You see him take notice of you, and as all four of you file in, he kind of slams his his beer bottle down on the bar, gets up from the bar, and stalks out past you. Very clearly, kind of deliberately, giving you a bump, giving you Anselm a bump in the shoulder as he walks by and out the front door.
I guess we made our first friend in town. Wow. Angry man. I hope he doesn't make any trouble.
Yeah, well. Get some drinks. That solves everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some vodka tonic.
Realizing they don't have a blender, I'll end up with a Budweiser.
Are you guys sitting at a table or sitting at the bar?
At a table. There's a free table.
Okay. You sit at the table. And it very quickly becomes apparent that there is no waitress here.
Oh, well, I assumed we'd order drinks at the bar.
Oh, we got
take them over.
The bar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you get up, go to the bar. He's not in a big hurry to come over, but, It takes a minute or so, and eventually the barman kind of slides down the bar to where you're waiting. What'll it be, kids?
Give me a beer.
A beer for me.
Yeah, well, I guess then if we're all getting beers, do you do pitchers?
Yeah, I can do a pitcher for you.
Pitcher of... bartender's choice. Beer.
He looks behind him at the single solitary tap.
There you go.
Yeah, no problem. Just a second. And he reaches down below the bar and pulls up a rather beat up, kind of yellowed looking pitcher. Turns around. Fills it up with cheap American beer and hands it to you.
Yellow-looking, battered beer.
There you go.
Perfect. Thank you. And I will give him my credit card and tell him to leave it open.
You want some glasses with that?
Oh, of course, please. Chilled if you have them.
Well, you can leave them out in the snow for a few minutes if you want. He reaches down behind the bar and pulls up some four small glasses. They're scratched. One of them is cracked. Water spots.
I give the correct one to Anselm.
There you go.
Well, to a weekend of digging or whatever we're in for.
A month?
Should be fun. A month? A week? I don't know. Seemed like it might just be a few days, but...
The expectation was 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, a month. All right. Well, to winter break.
Yeah. Cheers.
Beer is drunk.
Yeah.
It's a bit weak. It's a bit tasteless.
It's better than nothing. Just.
Do they have any greasy food here?
Probably a no kitchen bar.
Yeah, there you. If you want something to eat, you can go next door to Alice's and she'll fix you up a plate you can bring over.
Oh, okay. You guys want anything else? I was gonna get some onion rings or something.
No. Oh, yeah, I'll share them with you. Get some ranch.
Great. Okay. So I'll walk back over to the diner. Ask Alice for some onion rings and did you hear anything about that man Billy?
No.
Sheriff,
no.
Come back.
No. Sheriff's taking him to. Sheriff's taking him down to the docks. Sheriff won't be back tonight.
Well, where's the dock?
Nearest doctor to here is just a moment. Is somewhere. I know I have this. Just a moment.
Is it in? We're not in Cheap Bridge, right?
Stump the keeper here. No, you are not.
Okay.
That was kind of the last major, not the last, but nearly the last major town that you came through. Yes. Yeah, nearest doctor's down in Cheap Bridge.
Huh. Wow. It's a long ways.
Sorry, what was that? Couldn't make it out. Go ahead.
Me or Gary, I thought, said something.
Anybody who wants to.
So what are y'all doing in town here? Is there mining or tourists or...
Alice kind of
laughs. What goes on?
There used to be mining before the government shut it all down. You know, something about coal not being good for people. Don't want to burn it anymore, I guess. So they won't let us dig it up, so they won't let us work. Yeah, we get, one or two tourists a month coming through. Want to just go up to the Indian Mound and take a look.
Oh, an Indian mound.
It's not...
Would I know about anything archaeological around here been discovered?
Well, given that you're not having this conversation with Alice in the diner.
Oh, that's right.
But you did hear her... you heard that earlier we heard about the Indian mound because she told us that that's where the professor was working, up at the old Indian mound.
Yep.
Gotcha.
You might have had your ears busy with something else. So that's really, really kind of sad there.
Well, it's the way of the modern world. It's leaving us all behind.
Yeah, I guess you can't even listen to the radio here, huh?
No, we ain't had radio up here for 40 years.
That's amazing.
Oh, no.
Get back to your town.
Hmm.
So eventually, I assume we get some food and head back to the...
Yep. Not a problem. Not a problem. So there you are, drinking. Eating greasy.
Pull out a deck of cards.
Eating greasy fried
food. Play some cards. So,
what do you think? What do you think's going on up at this Indian mound?
I don't know. It'd definitely be interesting to get up there and poke around, though.
Yeah. What time do you reckon we should head out tomorrow?
Well, after breakfast, and after they get a plow to the road.
Mm. Well, do you think they do that around here?
I don't know.
Probably.
Like a foot of snow, or 3-4 inches, or.
At this point, there are a good 2 feet or more of snow on the ground.
And wow!
And it's continuing to come down.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere until they clear the road. That's for sure. Holy cow!
We'd be going anyway till at least morning.
I mean, it could be 80 degrees tomorrow, but this is quite something. That they haven't had a snowstorm like this in
a long time.
Yeah.
As regards the previous question, Corey, why don't you make an archaeology roll?
All right, then. That 99 ain't going to do it.
Well, it's been a long day of driving, The greasy food is weighing on your stomach, and the cheap beer is not making you feel the best. So, yeah.
Mm.
The old mind is not as clear as it might usually be right now.
Whoa.
So,
the snowstorm suddenly coming down a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Big wind. Well, I think I'm gonna hit the hay here. I'm pretty tired.
Same here.
Yeah.
It's light.
Yeah.
Okay. So you finish your finish the pitcher, finish the food, pay the barman, walk back to the. Or trudge through the snow back to the B&B.
Yeah.
And y'all turn in for the night.
Yep.
The beds, as I said, the rooms are small, but they are, very sort of a quaint, cozy charm about them. The bed is very comfortable, soft. The comforter is very warm. You are all very easily able to drift off to sleep, and you get a good night's sleep, and you wake up in the morning.
Sunday.
What do the roads look like?
The roads look like they have about 4 feet of snow on them.
Damn.
I don't think we're going to go anywhere, but at least we might make it across the parking lot to get some breakfast.
y'all can do that. That's not a problem. Get your boots on and get your coats on. As you wander over to the main house, can I get everyone to make a spot hit and roll, please?
Nope.
That's 0-2.
Yeah.
Let's see. That was Mohandas. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Extreme success.
Yes. As you're walking across the parking lot, you know the van is there, and you know it's buried past the wheels and you know past the wheel wells in snow, thick layer of snow on top of the van. But you notice it seems to be listing strangely. It's not sitting upright.
Oh, great.
Hey, that doesn't look right.
What?
Huh. Wonder if we got a flat tire.
Hmm.
Get down and have a look.
As you kind of, you know, start to dig out the snow a little bit and take a look, yes, you actually have 3 flat tires.
Oh, wow.
That's but they look like they've been knifed, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's not like we were going to go anywhere anyway, but that's...
unfortunate.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find a mechanic on a snowy Sunday, that's for sure. Well, I guess we can ask Betty, but you know, if Cecil had been doing his job last night, this wouldn't have
right.
happened.
Come on, Cecil, really? I mean, you had one job.
I was asleep. What do you mean, one job? I was sleeping.
Yeah, but your room was you were closest
your room
to the
was
van.
In the van.
They stole that creepy statue as well.
Can I have everyone make a con? Can I have everyone make a con roll, please?
Oh no!
Success.
I actually make it. Right. I don't believe it.
Okay.
Let's go get some breakfast.
Roll for Mohandas here, or sorry, for Cecil, not Mohandas. Okay. Yeah, Mohandas says, or Mohandas. I keep thinking Randall is playing Mohandas for some reason. Cecil complains that he is very hungry and ready for breakfast, and he sets out ahead of you. Rushes over.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll go in, too.
As you enter the main house, you know, the door is open. You know, and you walk in, and you are greeted with a warm, cozy house. You know, it's warm and cozy, and just the wonderful smells of breakfast. You can smell bacon frying, and smell some pancakes, and what is that? Maybe some blueberries, and it's just a wonderful, homey smell. And Cecil,
that's wonderful.
You know, the dining room is just kind of there, is you know through a doorway, just off, just from the main door, and Cecil just kind of rushes through. Oh, man, I'm starving.
And Betty's not. We don't see her for a bit, anyway.
Well, as you enter the dining room, she comes out. You know, there's another doorway into the kitchen.
Yeah.
The dining table is set. There are, you know, platter. You know, there's a big bowl of bacon. There's a big bowl of eggs. There's a platter of pancakes. She has a glass jug in her hands. Oh, good, perfect timing. Y'all have a seat. I just made up some fresh blueberry syrup here for the pancakes. And she sets it down on the table. Cecil sits down and he just starts grabbing some of everything and throwing it on his plate and is just shoving food down.
Excellent. Betty, do you have a telephone here we could use?
Yeah, I got a phone. No problem. Who do you want to call?
Well, I guess we'd better call the police. So it seems like somebody didn't take kindly to our being here. I'll tell her about the van.
What? Who would do that?
Could have been your mate, Ansel. That guy who mouthed off earlier. or yesterday?
Oh, it's probably just some of the kids in the area. You know, they get a little bored on a snowy night, and every once in a while they just cause some havoc.
I would have had to dig down through the snow to get at this, somebody. But anyway, do you think I can give him a call?
Oh yeah, you just tell the sheriff, and he'll go give them boys a little what for, and I'm sure it'll all be okay.
Is there anybody we can call, or a mechanic, or somebody to come out and fix the tires?
Yeah, we got a mechanic in town. You can call John. I don't know that he'll come out on a Sunday, but yeah, you can leave a message for him. Maybe he'll come out tomorrow.
Is there anybody who could give us a lift up to the site?
We can't go up there. There's 4 feet of snow. What are you thinking? We gotta wait for the roads to get cleared anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like really dangerous.
Oh yeah, if you want to.
You haven't seen the professor, have you, Betty?
Oh, you guys don't have any snowmobiles to rent, do you?
No snowmobiles to rent. I'm afraid not.
Dang.
No, I ain't seen the professor. I ain't seen him since he left yesterday morning.
Well, now I'm worried about him, too. So I'm going to call the sheriff, and I'm going to tell him about the tires, assuming I get an answer.
All right, you get an answering somebody. You get an answering machine.
Oh, excellent.
This is Sheriff Buford?
Sheriff John?
Yeah. Well, whatever I said the sheriff's name was, I don't remember now.
His name is John, too.
Oh, really? Yeah, this is John Buford is the sheriff. This is Sheriff Buford. I'm out working right now. I'll just leave a message, and I'll get back to you when I can.
Sheriff, this is... Well, I'm with... I met you last night. I'm with the students come down from Massachusetts, and... Well, there's a whole lot going on, but... We think that young man there... Anyway, somebody knifed our van, and... Well, the professor seems to be missing, so I'm kind of worried about him, too. He might have... been stuck up at the dig last night. So hopefully we're at Betty's there, at the B&B here, and well, if you get this, that'd be great if you could come by, I guess. Thanks. I don't know, guys. I just left a message with the sheriff's machine. Maybe he's not back from the doctor's, or maybe he doesn't get up right on a Sunday. Probably at church. I don't know, but I guess it's sure good. I didn't call the mechanic. I don't know if one of you guys wants to do that. I'm ready for sausage.
So I assume in this weather we couldn't drive up there even if we wanted to and had a work it van.
Very clearly, you do not want to be out driving on these roads.
I'm the king of the world. Yeah.
Exactly. Whatever that means.
How far away is the dig site?
2 miles.
Betty, I'm afraid snowshoes.
Yeah, why don't we get some snowshoes? We can just hike out there.
Ooh. I'm not surprised.
Well, what do we do now? Even if the van works, we can get out there. I'll ask the waitress if they
the proprietor?
Proprietor, if they plow the roads around here.
Oh, yeah. Old John's got a plow on the front of his pickup. He'll At some point, he'll go through and do what he can to clean the roads off a little bit.
Okay.
Can y'all make listen rolls?
Yeah. Probably not.
What is that?
07. Nope. That's a hard success.
I made it. Normal success.
Those of you who pass as you're, you know, having this conversation and eating what is really wonderful, delicious food, although Cecil seems to be eating an awful lot. You hear the sounds of a couple small engines outside. That sort of thing.
Snowmobiles. Get up and have a look.
Yep, you can see there's a pack of three or four snowmobiles that just zipped by.
Hey, who's those guys?
Oh, there's some, there are lots of local boys that have snowmobiles. Morning like this, perfect for them. They get out and just zip around the streets and have themselves a little fun, get a little wild.
Any chance we could hire one or a couple of them to take us up there?
Oh, I don't really know. You'd have to ask them.
Well, I'll sort of go outside and try to wave them down.
You are able to. There's, you know, like I say, there's a few up that are just kind of zipping around the streets. So eventually another one, you know, comes up and you kind of flag him down, and he pulls up next to you and flips the face mask on his helmet up. What can I do for you?
Hey, we're trying to get up to the dig up at the historical site.
You're going to have a hard time driving up there this morning.
Yeah, well, so we seem to have ended up with three flat tires as well. But I was wondering, could be any chance to give you some money to take us up there?
He very pointedly looks at the back of his snowmobile where there's room for, you know, one person.
Well, you and your friends. You and your friends.
I could take one of you up there. Sure. $20.
Do you think your friends will help out as well, so we can all go up there?
Well, you offering $20 to each?
Yeah.
How about 15 each?
I think.
As you've come
it's
out,
2 miles.
Come
one
out to
way.
Join the conversation. Yeah, but who wants to go up to that old place?
We do. A friend of ours is working up there, and he hasn't come back. He hasn't come down, and so he's stuck up there in the snow, so we're worried about him.
Another snowmobile comes up, sees the first one stop, and pulls up next to him, flips open his face mask. What's going on? These kids are wanting to get up to the old mound. They might be offering $20 to take them. Well, hell, I'll do it. I'll do it for 20. Let's go.
Okay. I'll go and grab my stuff then.
Yep, same here.
Yep, go grab the bags.
Hey, you.
I'll keep Cecil company.
Okay, so Francisca is going to stay?
Yep.
Okay. The first guy who stopped, you know, kind of looks past Mohandas and says, you there, pointing at Corey. You can ride with me, girly.
What's his app?
He's in a snowmobile suit with a full face helmet on. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, from what you can see when he speaks, it looks like he might be missing a couple teeth. But
awesome. Yeah, I'll hop on the back.
And the second guy who came, oh man, what about your other friend there? Isn't she coming?
She can speak for herself.
Well, she can't because she's inside and hasn't come out.
Well, no, she's not coming. You're out of luck, buddy.
All right, then. Come on. And they flag down a third snowmobiler who comes by, and they, hey, this here fellow is going to give you $20 if you take him with you, take him up to the old Indian mound. Well, hell, I'd do that for $20, sure. Hop on, boy.
Oh, I'll climb on the back of one.
Hold on tight, and zoom. Boom. They buzz off through the snow. They take the turns in town a little fast. You know, clearly, they're still having a little fun. They head out of town, off the out towards the top left there, where it says number 7, to the historical site. As they start to leave town, the road starts to get kind of steep. And you get the idea that, you know, even if there weren't any snow, this would not be the easiest drive to make. It's a steep, narrow road. These guys clearly have been riding their snowmobiles for quite a while. They know what they're doing. They're having some fun. It's a little scary, but, you know, they're pretty solid riders. It is, however, very cold. Would you all make a hard con roll, please?
Oh, dear. Yes! Bloody 15. Hell.
15. I get a hard con roll.
Regular my con is 30, roll. And I rolled a 13, so...
was that Corey who failed?
Regular con roll. Okay. But not a hard.
Yeah. Okay, so Corey, you can lose one hit point temporarily. You can have that hit point back once you're back in a warm place and can, you know, get your fingers and toes warmed back up.
Okay.
But all of you are, you know, you're cold. I mean, it's just like, you know, ice blocks around your fingers and toes, and, you know, you just kind of huddle down there. It's, you know, it very quickly, you know, with the wind rushing by and the cold air, is just freezing. Eventually,
yeah, snuggle up to your driver there, Corey.
which he is more than willing to let you do.
That's probably why she has such you know, early frostbite. Is that she does? She's trying to just hold on enough.
not get any closer than she has to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. And the road ends in a little clearing that you can imagine would be, you know, a little dirt parking lot if it weren't covered in snow, or just like a dirt little parking area. And, you know, the mountains are kind of rising up above you, but, you know, right in front of you is a mound. It's a conical mound. It is buried in snow, but it looks like it is about 20 meters high, so a pretty tall one.
Okay.
Over there, I think.
And you can see just around, not, you know, kind of directly facing this little clearing, but around the other side, almost out of sight, but not quite, you can see what Anselm and, not Anselm, sorry, what Corey and Francisca, if she was here, would recognize as some wooden shoring, as if somebody was digging into the mound. It kind of looks like a mine entrance is what it really looks like.
Okay. Nice. Well, do we see any sort of camp set up or I don't know, signs of someone being around here?
Not here, no. If you want to get off the snowmobiles and walk over there.
Yeah, I think we'll drop off here and go check it out.
Hey, wait a second. Where's our $20?
Oh, yeah.
Get it when we get back to town.
Back to town? Now, wait just one second. Nobody said anything about a ride back to town.
I'll head out there.
I'll pay them.
Yeah, I'll pay.
Tell them if you come and meet us again when, you know, about an hour before sundown, there'll be another $20.
An hour before you're gonna spend the day up? You go okay. And they all turn around and head back down.
Alright, start checking out the scene.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's cut back to Francesca. As you and Cecil are there in the B&B.
Yeah.
Cecil has not stopped eating. In fact, he just kind of now stops eating, and he kind of leans back and he puts his hands on his stomach. He's just like, oh my god, I feel so bloated.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone eat like that in a long time. I guess you didn't eat all day yesterday.
Oh man, I was hungry.
Pretty good food.
I was just so hungry.
Yeah, that's what you get when you've been smoking, huh?
It is a good breakfast.
Yeah, well, I guess seems like we're pretty well stuck here for the day anyway, so assume those guys will be back shortly. Betty, do you know whether the sheriff is likely to come in or check in or anything?
I ain't heard from him, if that's what you're asking.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Or if he's, you know, normally not around on Sunday, or if he checks his voice, his answering machine there.
Oh no, he'll check it after church to be sure.
Okay.
If he's in town. I mean.
And I guess we're done. This was a mighty good breakfast. I guess we'll call the mechanic too if you have a phone book, give him a number. And leave him a message too.
And you do so.
So I guess this was all around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And I don't think I'll get nervous until about noon.
Fair enough. We'll cut back to the others. As the snowmobiles buzz away, the sound, as they head back down the road, in a few minutes the sound dies away. It's very quiet. Kind of peaceful. Everything shrouded in snow. The footsteps crunch a little bit as you're walking.
So nice out here.
Right, it's a little rough going to make your way, you know, to make your way anywhere, just because the snow is so deep. It's very soft powder, so as you kind of take a step, you know, your foot drops down into the snow a good foot or two, and take another step, and you're kind of having to fight your way through, but you're able to get around well enough.
So is there sort of an entrance to this thing?
As you make your way around to the wooden shoring that you saw, you can see that, yes, it looks like someone has tunneled into the mound and is, you know, kind of shoring up the tunnel with some wood as they go. Outside The the snow is a little rougher, a little more irregular. Like it's piles of casting and debris from the tunnel. It's kind of piled around the entrance here. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yep, follow the tunnel.
The tunnel leads into the mound, not very far, about 2 meters. And then you can see, let's see, who is here? Unfortunately, your geologist is not here. So let's have Corey make an archaeology roll.
Okay, archaeology roll. Wow, another, that's worse than the last one, a 96.
Okay.
Can I attempt one?
I have archaeology, so.
Or if there's anybody else who has any geology, you can roll that too.
Well,
don't see it.
I do have a bit of geology.
You can roll your geology.
Separate skill? Or is that? No, it would be other science.
Yeah,
science. Ooh, geology. I get a 0-4. I get a extreme success.
Okay.
Interesting.
Corey. So you're able to recognize that this tunnel and the shoring is very new. It was not dug out very long ago at all. It's very fresh.
Mm.
Just a foot or two into the tunnel, the snow kind of stops. Just a little bit of snow is kind of drifting, blown into the tunnel. But other than that, obviously there isn't any snow in here. And the tunnel runs for about 2 to 3 meters in. And it's shored up pretty well, and you would recognize that this is a professional job. Somebody, whoever dug this and shored it, knew what they were doing. Unfortunately, okay. After about 2 to 3 meters in, it looks like the tunnel has collapsed.
No! Oh no!
And it's filled, floor to ceiling with rubble.
Oh gosh, we've gotta start digging.
Was there any encampments or camps or anything like that that could be equipment, tools?
If you go back out and start digging through the snow a little bit, make a luck roll.
Okay, luck roll a 20, which is a hard success.
You are able to find a shovel.
Excellent. Rush back in and start digging with the shovel.
Okay.
I'll try and direct. So
yeah, I will direct as well
to make sure there's no further cave in.
We sound like a government department. Two supervisors, one person doing the work.
Okay. As soon as you dig out 2 shovels worth of this rubble, it starts shifting. And even the not expert diggers or geologists or miners among you would recognize this is making me nervous.
Well, maybe we should.
Can we shout, Dr. Aviles?
You can shout.
Are you there?
You can shout whatever you would like to.
Then I will shout for a bit.
And I'll continue to dig.
I'll stand back while he continues to dig.
I will stand back as well.
Okay, I'll look at them as they're standing back. But we've got to get in there.
Mohandas, can you make a luck roll, please?
Zero five.
Nice.
You're able to dislodge a few more rocks and more start coming down, and you get the idea that this is a bad idea to just be trying to randomly dig through this. This is very unstable.
Okay. Okay, I'll stick it back. Then, going, well, how are we going to get to him?
Maybe there's another entrance, another somewhere around here. I don't know. Or maybe where you found that shovel, there's some more boards to shore up.
Yep. Yep.
If That's we a- keep digging.
Okay, we'll start digging around where we found the shovel.
Okay, you're able to do that. Let's get party luck roll.
I have a 75 luck.
It's lower than me.
Mine is 55.
Yeah, it's up to you then.
38.
Nice.
Yes, you are able to find a a second shovel and a pile of timbers.
Well, let's get this all up next to the tunnel and start doing it proper.
Let's get a geology roll.
Oh, a 13, which is a success.
Okay, you think you have a reasonable idea of how to do this?
I got this, guys. This is what we need to do.
Okay. We'll follow, okay.
Follow his instructions.
Follow her instructions.
Oh, her, sorry.
Jeez.
Okay. You start working, start putting some shoring in place and digging away, and you know, you're moving very carefully, and hours start to pass. We'll cut back to Francisca. It's about noon. No sign of your friends.
No sign of the sheriff?
Nope. There has been no phone call or, you know, nobody's called.
All right, well, I will tell Betty that, Betty, I'm going to see if I can get one of these boys to give me a lift up and see what's going on up there, but I'm anyway, if the sheriff calls in, could you please let him know, and I'll tell her about the young man that we had a confrontation with, and I'm kind of worried that he might have been the one that did the tires in. He was out drinking last night, but anyway, I don't know why my friends aren't back, so I'm going to head up and see if they're what they're doing. And I will rummage through and find as much good warm clothing and so forth as I can find, and then see if I can find someone to take me up there.
Okay, while you're doing that, let's cut back to the others. So you've been digging for a few hours. You have not made a whole lot of progress. The tunnel is very unstable. It's taking a lot of shoring to put it in place, and you know it's cold, and you're trying to lift these heavy timbers and knock them into place, and dig out a little more rubble. And would you all make con? Would you all make hard con rolls, please?
Oh Lord.
I feel my luck is about to run out.
Ooh, a 10, an 11.
That's yes. A 100.
I made an extreme con roll.
92 out of 30 for me.
Ouch.
Okay, fair enough. Just one moment, please. Okay, some PM. So that was, let's see, who failed? That was Anselm and Mohandas?
Yes, and I brought 100.
Okay. Some PMs coming through here for you.
Your fingers fall off. Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
Do I have any supplies in my bag?
I'll
bring any trail mix.
I don't believe you did.
Darn. Anselm looks even more pale and sickly than usual. Oh, I'm so hungry. I could eat a horse.
Darling.
Well, sundown will come soon enough.
Yeah,
it's only about another 6 hours.
Just wait. You have had some food around you somewhere. Can you have set up a base?
You haven't seen any indication of that, if that's what you're asking.
Was there a car in the car park at all?
Sorry, was there a what?
Car in the car park.
No.
Did anyone think to bring any food? God.
Work has come to a halt.
Corey, I can't believe you forgot to bring lunch. Should have planned.
I think Cecil was eating all the food.
Okay, well, I will. If it becomes clear there's nothing. Not even a Mars bar? I must have something in my bag. I'm gonna empty my bag out. I'm sure I've got something at the bottom of it.
Make a luck roll.
33 out of 55.
Yeah, you can find an old candy bar.
Amazing. I will devour it immediately.
It doesn't help a whole lot.
I guess I will try and keep moving rubble, but I think I'm going to get tired pretty quickly.
Yeah, as soon as you even think about, as soon as you even, pick up the shovel, you just drop it again. Your stomach is cramping so badly.
I will curl up into a fetal position and moan.
Come on, Anselm, we've got to get him out of there.
You can dig for a bit. I can't do much at the moment.
Well, then I guess let's just rest. Maybe we can start back up in a little bit. I mean, I'll keep working if I can, Jim, with my amazing extreme con roll.
You can, but but there's no way you can do this job by yourself.
Right.
Yeah, so you realize that you would just be doing more damage
than helping.
Yeah, increasing the chances of a further cave-in rather than actually making any progress.
All right, then. Time to play the waiting game.
We will cut back to Francesca.
So between my natural appetite and my mountain survival training, I will definitely be bringing some. I'll load up at the gas station there on whatever, because I'm a little worried about them. I assume we have a first aid pack of some sort with our equipment, and then whatever jerky and chocolate and stuff. And then, yeah, see if I can find a snowmobiler.
Yeah, you're able to, you know, trudge over to the gas station and stock up on some trail mix, a couple granola bars, that sort of thing. Make a luck roll.
Oh, that is a hard success.
There is. As you come over to the gas station, first of all, the fellow who was taken away last night, his pickup truck is still there. It's still parked at the pump. There is a snowmobiler. They're gassing up his snowmobile.
Now, I'm assuming the roads are still, that the pickup truck's not going anywhere. I mean, it must be. It may be fine in its little under the canopy, but the...
Yeah, the roads have not been plowed. They're not cleared in any way.
Okay. Excuse me, sir.
Yes? Can I help you, miss?
Well, I came down here with some friends of mine, and they hitched a ride earlier up to the burial mound. That was this morning, and I haven't seen them, and I'm getting real nervous about them. Do you think I could talk you into taking me up there and seeing if they're all right? We could go up there.
Oh, I suppose I could certainly do that right after lunch.
Sure. Are you gonna eat here? I'll buy you lunch.
Oh, well, that's right kind of you. I will certainly do that then.
Thanks. And I'll spend most of lunch trying to push him to that I'm a little nervous.
Fair enough.
Eat a little quicker.
How about a persuade roll?
I was afraid you'd ask for that. Yep. You know, I'll burn my two luck to get that a successful persuade.
Okay. You know, he's still not in a huge hurry to eat lunch. Who would be when you have a attractive New England girl buying you lunch? Attractive college girl.
Well, attractive. Attractive is one word for it, sure.
in local terms.
yep, definitely.
But he eventually finishes lunch and offers to head out.
Excellent.
And I think that will be a good place to end it for today.
Oh dear.
Interesting. Nice.
Hey, yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So is this another Jim original?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. Cool. Excellent.
Quite enjoying it.
Yeah. Nice so far.
Cool. So we'll continue next week.
How long do you think this one's going to take us?
Good.
My guess,
current rate of avoidance.
My guess is 3 to 4 sessions.
Okay, sounds cool.
And then are we starting bum 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 masks after that?
I believe that's the plan.
Yep. Oh Lord,
Jim, you've done a character yet for?
That is correct. I have not.
I haven't either. I will. I will start to think.
Yeah, well, a group of characters.
So we've got, I'm doing private investigator.
Eldest brother of like a family of 14 children. That's what we have to go for.
Right.
Yep, that's enough.
Possibly.
14 children that are strategically located around the world for whatever reason.
That might work.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks.
Yeah,
cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll catch you guys next
time. See you next time.
Have a good week.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.